Good morning, I'm Allison Bechtesh. With me in the studio today is Gail Schwartz, former state senator for Senate District 5 and the Democratic candidate for Congressional District 3. Gail, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you. Pleasure, Allison. Thank you for having me.
We're going to start with the hardest question. What motivated you to run for this position?
I get asked that a lot. Came out of my nice retirement. But I think, like most of us, I think there is a lot to be frustrated about when it comes to this election cycle. And most importantly, having worked 8 years at the state Senate and getting a lot done in a very bipartisan way, I think that skill set should be taken to Washington, D.C.
Talk about your time in the state Senate. What are some of your successes?
Well, I think that, again, people in this community certainly are familiar with the work that we were able to accomplish, and starting with my efforts around rural schools and creating the best program, building excellent schools today. And that ultimately resulted in over $1 billion of new schools in rural communities throughout Colorado that could never have replaced a school building. And secondly, they called me the green machine down there, and my dedication to renewable energies and other new energy opportunities for the state of Colorado. And lastly, my dedication to education, having been a commissioner of higher education on the Board of Regents, and then commitment to education, higher education, and in particular in the state of Colorado, knowing that's the foundation to our workforce moving forward.
Was there anything left undone as you retired from the Senate?
Well, they did refer to me as one of the hardest working senators ever to go through those doors, and I'm pretty proud of what I was able to accomplish for the 13 districts that were in Senate District 5. We have a different voice coming from, there's a political divide as well as a geographic divide when it comes to serving at the state capitol, and I believe I took a very strong stand for my communities and knew that there were opportunities that we were entitled to that I was willing to work for.
Let's talk about some of those political and geographical divides then in District 3 for the federal House District 3 that you're running for. It's a huge district. It's diverse in population and in geography. How do you combine interests for this and represent the whole district?
Well, interestingly, in 2000, I did run in the 3rd Congressional. It was actually bigger at that point. Now it's only 29 counties and 50,000 square miles. It could probably be the 28th largest state in the nation. But it is very diverse. And I think having won three times in this region, recognize that there are a lot of voices and there are a lot of interests and a lot of opportunity. But most importantly, we have a chance to, I think, send someone to Washington that will be a good listener, willing to represent the interests of our communities and the priorities of our communities, and protect the resources that are so critical to our landscape and our economy.
What issues come up in District 3 that the federal government could have an impact on?
Well, certainly, let's start with our natural resources. And that is, that's a beginning of getting the federal government to be better stewards of the federal lands. When we have probably in excess of 6 million acres of standing dead timber in the state of Colorado, this is critical to our communities and our watersheds. We have better forest management opportunities. It's also an energy resource. We need to have the federal government step up and help us with utilizing our natural lands for energy generation and opportunities, but then also recognizing that we have special landscapes that need protection. So how do we have that balance? It's not an either or, but how do we strike a really important balance? Besides adequate management of our natural resources and public lands, also broadband connectivity. Broadband connectivity is crucial to the economy and the opportunities that are available to rural communities. So we have great resources in our landscape, but we can't forget that our most important, valuable resource are the people that live here in the 3rd Congressional District. And that opportunity for us to have our main streets compete in a global marketplace is critical to the future of our economy. So we have incredible investment in outdoor recreation and the industries that are important to our region, but we could attract industries into the 3rd Congressional if we have the connectivity that the existing global marketplace requires.
What are your plans for reaching out and getting to know the voters during this campaign?
Well, again, I have driven about 350,000 miles during my 8-year tenure in the Senate, and I will continue to show up in communities and listen to their priorities, identify opportunities and resources that could be of value to them. That for me will be the priority, to be everywhere I can be physically, but also have mechanisms for input and seeing that we have differences. So when you're spanning, you know, from Wyoming to New Mexico, and we're also including the San Luis Valley and Pueblo and Southwest Colorado, the very unique characteristics of the residents and the industries and the opportunities. So my goal is to listen up in Northwest Colorado, as well as I listen in Pueblo, and be someone who is going to be a drive consensus, find what we agree on. That's where opportunity exists. Where do we agree? Then we can start working on our differences. But more importantly, recognizing that a strong voice that works for constituents, not for donors, will be my voice.
I'm going to follow up on that. On the Democratic presidential race, campaign finance has been a big issue. Who are your donors, and are you then beholden to them? Where are you getting your money, or where do you hope a lot of those donations to come from?
Well, I hope I will be supported by as many individuals as possible. I am very energized by the support and enthusiasm we have seen in Bernie Sanders' race, that this is the future of how our country is going to operate when we have young people. I am highly opposed to Citizens United. I feel that has been detrimental, and we can't have corporate voices speaking more loudly than citizens' voices. So, but when it comes to interests, I believe I'm going to represent working families and teachers and the issues that are important to our communities, and not have my donations dominated by any interest group, and I certainly will not be responsive to an interest group. And I've demonstrated that on multiple occasions, having stood up to people that may have contributed to the political party or to myself, and stood up against them only to represent what I felt would be best for my district.
Actually, nationally, the Democrats have their eye on this race. It's one of those places where they might switch from red to blue, as they call it. Is that reaching out to people who haven't voted before, like you mentioned, young voters? Is it getting people to switch from who might have gone for Tipton in years past but are switching over? What voters are going to make this a win?
Well, this has been an interesting seat over time, and it's gone between both parties, because I think it shows how people vote for the person. And to the extent that there's some voters, or many voters obviously, that I haven't met or worked for, so we have a third, and obviously the registration of the Republican Party out, and then it's the unaffiliateds, and then it's the Democrats. But more importantly, we have an opportunity here to recognize that the 3rd Congressional has been a district that has been represented by Democrats and Republicans. But that speaks to the voters' willingness to look at the candidate, to look at who represents their interests. And having been in, again, 3 competitive races and won those, there is an opportunity for people to cross over and not strictly vote party line. So this I think is an exciting race, exciting opportunity, exciting time for our region to recognize what's important, who's going to carry their vote and their voice back to Washington, D.C.
Your presumed opponent is incumbent Scott Tipton. Let's start with, are there any areas in which the two of you agree?
Well, I think we very clearly have our differences, but I have great respect for Scott, and he and I have communicated on issues. But most importantly, I think Scott has carried just a couple of bills in Congress relative to hydroelectric power And I have been, again, looking to having a broad portfolio, all the above energy strategy, which I am committed to, and I actually think I have a real commitment to. But his recognition that hydroelectricity has a great opportunity for the people that own the resource. That's for our farming and ranching communities. It's a great opportunity for communities. It's clean baseload power. And those are bills that I carried in the state Senate, and to make sure that we don't have the energy generation compete with our environment and our environmental standards. So communicated with him on those issues, but you know they're very very clearly our differences in terms of my recognition that we've got great threats to our water resources as a result of climate change, and Congressman Tippmann doesn't believe in climate change or helping us have the resources to adapt and to the changing climate that support the industries, not just recreation, but our agriculture industries, how critical that is to the future of Western Colorado.
One conspicuous difference would be along those lines with oil and gas drilling and locally here, the Thompson Divide. Can you talk about that issue?
Well, I will just say that there are many individuals that have worked and have the specifics of Thompson Divide. But I think what I fault is process, that when you have counties that come together, create a solution over a 5.5-year period, that it's would be my job to listen to those communities, what it is that they support. So this is not about energy production. This is really about where are those special landscapes that support. In Colorado, we have a $35 billion outdoor recreation industry. And how do we support the jobs associated with recreation in our communities for our fishing, our hunting, our backpacking, all those opportunities, and at the same time protect our water quality and air quality that are so important to the ranching community in the Crystal Valley. So the issue being that, one, listening to local processes and not trying to second guess it, two, having an opportunity to craft solutions that are going to be good for the local economy, and also finding opportunities that can support continued oil and gas production in this part of the state. This is an important industry to us. It has been an important industry for a long time. I'm someone who's been recognized from both the oil and gas industry and the renewable industries. So I understand what jobs and opportunities are, in fact, associated with continued oil and gas. But there are the right places. And those right places are perhaps places that don't impact our special landscapes as well as our watersheds and water quality. So that to me is what Thompson Divide represents. It represents the fact that communities need to be listened to. We need to find the right place to support the oil and gas industry, but we also find a way to protect very valuable traditional industries around recreation and agriculture in our region.
I said that Tipton is the presumed Republican candidate. He does have an opponent in this primary, Alex Feinstein. His main issue is national safety, specifically threats from ISIS. This is a new coming on the federal level, representing like that. You will have national security and foreign policy to talk about as well. So can you talk about making that bigger jump to Congress with those two issues?
Well, certainly we've, at the state level, that has been an issue, national security. And also trade issues when it's come to the economy of the state of Colorado. So these are not totally new to me. And I certainly, as a person observing the political process, have my opinions on those areas. Keeping our communities and families safe is our number one priority. And how can we have a constructive foreign policy that, in my opinion, prioritizes peace and the opportunity to go in and work out our differences with people that we may not be aligned with, but secondly, has the option of moving people into our war zones be our last option. Rural America has done more than its fair share of sending its young people into service. And this comes home, that our young people that go, and I've been to too many of these funerals in my district that don't return. And it is we are so grateful and so honored that these young people chose that service, but we must recognize that they're entitled to being in their communities and bringing back and serving communities. But as I said, it should be our last resort, should be sending young people into war.
What else on the federal level would you see yourself, what bills would you see yourself authoring or sponsoring that would benefit Colorado?
Well, I'm going to start with broadband. I think that it's just like we did when we brought electricity to the farmhouse. We are going to make sure every school, every hospital, every library, every main street, every home is connected with adequate connectivity and adequate internet. That we, these are our jobs. This is our future. This is where people are invested. But when you have a landscape such as ours, and the cost and the problem of bringing reliable connectivity into our communities is a challenge, but it takes an investment. And the marketplace, and I was told way too many times down at the state capitol, these broadband businesses were not coming to my communities. Then I said, get out of the way, because we can start to solve our own problems if we have the resources to do that.
Are there any other issues that you have your eye on?
You know, I think, again, investment in higher education, that we've watched the public sector commitment dwindle when it comes to educating young people in our workforce. And certainly the debt that having three daughters with graduate degrees, understanding what this cost is all about and what it's going to cost in the future, we have to support our young people and not burden them as they move forward into their lives, into their marketplace with debt for higher education. And part of that will come from sorting out what public funding looks like and then also how we support that their debt. And this opportunity for working families and giving them the resources that they need to be able to have a living wage. This is a moral issue. And the resources we have that we're putting to support women and children and families need to be done in a very thoughtful way. And I'm not proposing that we open the floodgates when it comes to supporting families, but we have to build opportunity in this country. We have to give everyone a fair shot at being successful, starting with their young people, starting as people are transitioning in the workplace, giving them the tools to rebuild their careers. It's a broad question. But I really, having come from a very diverse district that, you know, spanned basically from I-70 to New Mexico, knowing what it means to have people be able to access the resources they need, the jobs they need, that's going to be a big focus of mine. Lastly, water, agriculture, our natural resources, and climate. So we need to step up with a real plan that will mitigate and also help us respond in a strategic way to the impacts of climate change as this country is going, and especially the West, is being very significantly impacted. Water is a tremendously strong part of my background, and we'll continue to focus on protecting Colorado's water, protecting Colorado water users.
I'm going off book a little bit here, but you mentioned your three daughters. If you look at a picture of Congress, it's almost all men. So can you talk a little bit about running as a woman or representing, getting at least one more body slightly more diverse in our representation?
It's such an interesting issue. Having come from Colorado, we have the largest percentage of women in our General Assembly than any other capital in the nation. Now you look at Congress and the U.S. Senate, and it's between 17% and 19%. Women are half of this country. Women have a voice, but women in government, I think, is even more valuable because of our focus on the issues, the reason we go into public service. I don't call it into politics. I call it public service because we believe we serve, and that is where I feel we can make an extraordinary difference. And having more women be part of the conversation, we all know, in the household, from the household and the kitchen table all the way to Congress, we can make a difference.
I wasn't here 2 years ago when Abel was running. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that, or have you since gone back and looked at how that broke down? Are you going to be able to pull in any tips from that campaign to defeat Tipton this time?
Well, I think there are a lot of factors that make this a different race, and maybe we could talk about that. I served with Abel Tapia as in the state Senate, and he's an engineer, a very competent individual, and I think he ran a very a very solid race. It's all about timing, isn't it? And the timing this year that voters are asking for something different. They are asking for people to go back, not shut down the government, but actually be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And this is just—it's just a different time. And listening to what people have in mind. That's why I said I've had a lot of fun having conversations with these young Bernie supporters. They're all about it. It's also very traditional voters. I think women's voice being heard, certainly our minorities and our Hispanic voices. We have the oldest traditional Hispanic communities in the nation or in the state, and want to make sure that their voice is heard as well.
Again, I've been speaking with Gail Schwartz, former state senator for Senate District 5 and the Democratic congressional candidate for Colorado District 3. Gail, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Allison Bechtesh.